What came to my mind, amongst other things, was a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Surprisingly so. Brahmabhuta prasanatmana sochitina kankshati samaksarve shubhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. Yeah, and in this verse, we find that there is a very clear indication of living in the moment, living in the present, and that it is in this moment, in this present, that we find our spirit. We find the bliss that we are. We find that connection. If I am not lamenting about the past, I am not living in the past. I may be grateful. I should be grateful. Gratefulness is a very significant factor, a significant quality. To be grateful for what we have. I don't mean from the point of view of it could be worse. Naturally, it could be worse, but it could also be better. Rather, I see it from the point of view that there is value in being grateful for what is. Because usually what is exactly what is supposed to be there for us. These experiences, whether they be classified by our minds as good or bad, the environment that we're in, the friends or enemies we may have, and so on, our economic situation, political situation. We have this life because this life is exactly what we should have. And if we should not have it, then we will not have it. This is a very standard theme in all Asian philosophies, that what we have is what we are supposed to have. Now, some people say, that some people define this in terms of a karma, as in a reward and punishment. But that is a very Judeo-Christian concept. Whereas the original concept is that we are going through what we are supposed to go through, what we have chosen to go through, what we have shared with others, how we are choosing to have experiences. These are our choices. We choose to have experiences. We have chosen in the past the environment that we're in that creates the field of activities, also in Bhagavad Gita, the kshetra, the field. But we are kshetrajna, the knower of the field. So we know this field that we're in. We're the knower of the field that we have shared in the creation of. And we choose to act in this field according to the consciousness as the knower of it. Our situation at present could be defined as perfect. And if we are, shall we say, dissatisfied with the situation, then we have to examine what it is that is this dissatisfaction. If we are dissatisfied because we want more of something, well, we can make a request to have more of something. The idea of being dissatisfied because we do not have more of something, it is not required. It is not required that we are dissatisfied. We may want more of something for some reason, good or bad reason. And that may or may not be arranged, depending on who we are and how it is being organized. But being dissatisfied, this is not perfect. Why are we dissatisfied? Again, we are lamenting for that which we have lost, perhaps. lamenting for choices we have made, lamenting for things that have been done to us, lamenting about what could have been if only this was done or this was said. And we are hankering. We want these things. We want these objects. We want this love. We want this recognition. We want this wealth. We want this health. We want this kind of life. The hankering flings us into the future that doesn't exist. And indeed, it colors the future. And the lamenting throws us into the past and forces us to be living in the past. So obviously, the Brahma-Bhuta platform is the platform of prasanatma, being satisfied. Oh my goodness, I'm getting very expressive with my hands, so I'm bashing all the microphones. Being satisfied with the self. And the self only exists in the present. The self can only exist in the present. The self, the essence, our being, Atma, if you will, only exists in its ever-present existence. It doesn't exist in the future, doesn't exist in the past. Factually, this time of past and future is a creation. For in existence, everything exists continually in the moment, in the present. These things of the past exist in our mind, or stored in the cells, or in our emotions. They are traumas or memories, even pleasant ones, stored, where we can, if you think about it, bring the past into the present. What a power! One who's not enlightened will live in the past, will have their consciousness situated in the past, and living as if it was always that time. Therefore, they may be living in a time of memory of some personality or some situation that may give them some pleasure. But they are also living in the time of all of the various traumas or all of the various problems. And they are powerless to change them, because you can only make change, you can only make choice in the present. So if you were to try to move to the past and live in the past, you're powerless. You're only allowed to feel, experience, or whatever, that which already took place. That, or alternatively, that which you think took place. And so you're living in a fixed box. That which already is established. So you're stuck. But one who lives in the present, that personality can directly affect anything on all dimensional levels. Because for that person, there is really no past, there is really no future. There is only that infinite present, the Sat of Satchidananda. The Sat and Chit, they go very closely together, the eternality, the knowledge, this. But Chit means full awareness, not just knowledge. Knowledge is a word which, incomplete description. This awareness, full awareness. And Sat doesn't just mean eternal, we've already discussed this. It means ever-present existence. Full awareness in ever-present existence. Let's set aside quantity and not worry about it. Why would you start putting limits? Why would you start putting boundaries on the present? Where is the boundary? How far do you have to reach out to find a boundary to the moment? Why would you limit your awareness? When you're aware, you're aware. The concept of limit does not exist in awareness. It is something that is placed upon us by others. Let's say somebody comes and said, "Were you aware of?" And you may say, "No." So this other person has come and made you aware of a limit. Yet, if a person is, for example, connected with the present, connected and aware, fully aware, without acceptance of limitation, then that person becomes very sensitive and can feel many things, can connect and understand that there is only one of us, that we share this consciousness, we share this space. Indeed, we are investing in the divine. We are investing in this earth with our consciousness. We are investing in each other with our consciousness. We are sharing this consciousness. And in this way, we may have feelings and we may know. We may not know the detail. The detail may be revealed to us later on. But we are aware. We feel it. This is very important. When we are living in this situation of present, ever presence, and full awareness, that of the past fits within a context. And when it fits within a context, it now makes sense within a context. And we have a greater capacity, a much greater capacity to release it, to let it go, to bless it. The hardest thing for someone to do is to bless the past, to bless it, and to offer it those blessings and let it be, to bless the presence and be grateful. All of us have so much to be grateful for. And to bless our pathway as we, in our ever-presence, move within this realm of physical and non-physical existence. We allow ourselves, we permit ourselves, and we bless ourselves to move, to traverse existence. And in this travel, we become beacons of light, beacons of divinity, like lighthouses. And we allow that energy to flow through us because we see no reason to limit it. And we just allow it to flow through us and on as we share with others. We share that light. In this position of the presence, the past has no power over us. And we have power over it to release it, to bless it. So therefore, this position of not lamenting the past, and this position of full acceptance and awareness of the present, is such a power. It liberates you. It liberates you from illusion, the illusion being that any other time than the present exists. There's no reason to say this world doesn't exist, because that makes one irrelevant. It makes one, again, not fully aware. Certainly it exists, and certainly it is something that we interact with in our desire to be of service. Yet we may also interact on other platforms or dimensions, or the way in which that spiritual energy finds itself in other placements, which have enormous value to us and value to others. So in this position, the past has no power over us, yet the present also, the future also. Actually, present also. I said it and I thought it was a mistake, but now that I think about it, the present also has no power over us because we accept it. You know, when you oppose something, you make it stronger. So something would have power over us when we oppose it. That doesn't mean we accept and allow ourselves to be sucked into nasty activities or energies. No, but we can bless it in a compassionate way. We may physically be detached from something, but we may bless it in a compassionate way. Not send opposing energy to it, because it'll empower it to make it stronger. So in this present, we also are not controlled. Not controlled by the present, not controlled by the past. Rather, we are masters of our destiny. Masters of our consciousness. Masters. Divine masters. It doesn't mean you have to have a mastery over something or over someone. You only are accepting what you are and thus become a master, a divine master who accepts the present and the awareness that is there and expands that, reaching out, connecting through compassion, through love, through experience, through sharing, through selfless service. Also through taking care of the body, taking care of the world, taking care of others. But nasociti nakanchiti, without the lamentation, without the hankering, without the needs, without the exploitation of this world for selfish desires, without needs, without wants, just accepting. It's in this moment that one is the divine being that one is. No other moment exists. So that's where the prasanatma is. That's where the Brahma-Bhuta is. Where one sees things for what they are, not for what I label them to be. Not for what others have labeled them to be and placed that label upon me. Not what others label me or place upon me as labels or as designations. It's not what we put upon others either. Because just as we know that others should not place upon us, we do not place upon them. Brahma-Bhuta. It is fine as it is. In such a state, samaksarveshu bhuteshu, we see all living beings, we see all things as equal. Equal means only it is what it is. And what it is fine. What it is fine as it is. I accept it. Yet I may be of service and bless it with compassion if it, let's say a person, is not aware as I am aware. Let's say this other person is actually even a personification of evil. And is not as aware as I am aware. Let's say that person is manifesting evil in such a way as a personification of all the evil that is there in the world. So they are absorbing that and expressing it. They are a product of all that is evil. Then I don't have to experience that. They are experiencing it. So they are doing me a favor, a service, by being that evil or expressing that evil or that which is bad. And by me being aware of that, I see their situation. I do not need to duplicate it. That's a very fascinating concept. That even those who do bad render a service unknowingly, or maybe even they're aware of it if they're special persons, that the rest of us don't have to do bad. Yet at the same time, we are doing good. And our service is to lift those who do bad by blessing them, assisting them. None of this should be, or could even be in reality, used as a rationalization that I'm going to go out and do bad because I'm going to be of service to others. If you are a good person, I'm using these terms loosely, if you are divinely aware, you cannot do bad. You cannot consciously go out and do something harmful. And if by chance you did, for whatever reason, you would know deep within your soul that something really terrible has just happened and you have participated in it. And that would shake you at the core of your being, because you are what you are. All people are divine. But in this realm, in this existence, there is some who take the roles of a evil force. We have that experience. Every one of us have that experience. How we respond to the evil force is a test, is our task. If everything was fine all the time, we would be bored. It would be lifeless. In this conflict that we face, it causes us to grow. Let's take an example which I'm very familiar with, which is pain. This lifetime, for some reason, I have a lot of pain in different places. It's just there. Yet I have seen that this pain is conscious, whether it be a physical pain, a mental pain, an emotional pain, energetic pain, it's conscious. It arises when I'm stuck. When I'm stuck, or when I'm moving in a direction I should not be moving in, or I need to be aware of something and it's just not happening, or maybe a million other reasons I'm not aware of, pain increases. Obviously, I would feel pain if I cut myself. We're not talking about that kind of pain which is forced upon us by some physical occurrence, or if you eat the wrong thing or whatever. I'm talking about pain that just arises part of our life, or even that which is placed upon us when we need it. We have to speak to the pain. We have to be aware of the pain. Listen to it. Find out what it's telling us. And believe me, it's telling us a lot. Oh, for sure, it's telling us a lot. Pain is very talkative. It has a lot to say. It has so much to say, it's just drilling on us. Drilling on us. Pain. So our task in this awareness of the moment is to embrace it. Pain is very interesting like that. The more you oppose it, the stronger it gets. The more you accept it, the weaker it gets. I know, when I sit down in the dentist chair, it's actually my favorite activity. I'd probably rather drown myself sometimes than sit in a dentist chair. But when I sit there, and anything's going to happen, I am instantly ready to freak out. Any little pain that comes, I'm already screaming in agony because I'm all wired to feel that pain because I'm opposing it. No pain, no pain, no pain. And so the littlest drilling, or if I looked at it as a martial art, you know, all these martial arts that are there in the Orient, instead of opposing my opponent, I flow with my opponent's energy and strike when the opponent is weak, because I've accepted the force of the opponent until it is used, and then I can attack. So let us say, I accept the pain. I don't oppose it. I am relaxed, in a position of strength, relaxed and in full awareness, because I'm listening very carefully to the pain. And I'm listening in this relaxed, aware state to what it's telling me as it approaches me like an opponent. And I don't oppose it. So I don't empower it with my opposition. When you don't empower some opponent, it weakens them enormously. Because most opponents gain their strength by your fear, by your agitation, by your opposing them. An opponent and a dog are very similar in that way. Dogs feed off of your fear because they are, by their nature, inferior beings. They know that. They know that people are smart. They know that people have power. But whoever it is, if they feel you're afraid of them, or you're running from them, well, all of a sudden they become very bold. And they're barking and chasing and biting because they think they can. And if you don't respond, you don't empower them with fear, they become powerless. I always wondered about that. In Oxia in Sweden, I had read and heard that if a dog becomes insane and races after you, you simply turn around, turn your back on it, and stand still and ignore it totally. So I was in the park, and one lady was walking a dog. It was a huge monster. I think it was a Rottweiler or something like that, but I don't think they have them in Sweden. It was something similar to that, a monster, ferocious dog. I was just walking. All of a sudden, this dog comes racing at me. Probably it thought I was going to hurt its master. And so I just turned around, held my arms against my chest, and didn't respond in any way. It bounced off my back, which was quite something, but it didn't bite me. And it sat there barking for a little while, and then the master came and took it away. Now, had I opposed it or ran or felt fear, it would have torn me to pieces. But I turned my back on it and did not respond. My statement to the dog was, I couldn't care less about you. You don't exist to me. That bewildered the dog. It had no more power. Then again, if I was to express enormous power, more than the dog, it would do another thing. I remember, and this is a very wild story, in Romania, in I think it was 1981 or something like that, I was at the Romanian border, and I had to go to a program. And I forgot, it was somewhere in Romania I had to go to the program. And I got stuck at the border. And these guys simply didn't want to let me in. They had decided that I was smuggling drugs. And they said, all you have to do is admit you're smuggling drugs and we'll let you go back. I mean, they must have thought I was born yesterday. I told them again and again, I don't smuggle drugs, I don't do drugs, I don't smoke cigarettes, I don't even drink coffee or tea. So leave me alone. Look. So then they said, take apart your car. They gave me a wrench and said, take off your gas tank. I said, what are you, crazy? First of all, I don't even know how to take off my gas tank. And second of all, I'm not going to take off my gas tank to come in here. So then they had this dog. These were big German shepherds, really vicious characters. Romanians only have vicious characters. So this dog jumps in my car and starts ripping up the floor of the back of my car. I had one of those old station wagons, combis in those days. They don't make them anymore. And it was kind of a new car. And I found out later that they made the material they used to make those floors was hemp, like what you make out of ropes out of. It had nothing to do with the other form of hemp, just simply for, like with clothes and stuff like that. So this dog is ripping up my floor, and it was really getting agitated. And I got so angry at this dog. And I just, this little wrench, it was about so big, you know, and it was only sticking up in my hand this much. But I expressed such an anger at this dog, telling him to stop with such a, argh! The dog went, argh! And was had eyes this big and was shaking in the back of the car. And then the border guys were looking at me like, what the hell? And then they became convinced. You know, but then they looked at me like, who is this character? But it was my first and only experience of doing that to a dog. Usually I like dogs, dogs like me. I can tell you what else happened in that story some other time because it goes on for hours. Needless to say, I didn't get into Romania and that program never happened. But this dealing with the energies and not accepting, allowing things to flow and being in that present moment and just responding to it appropriately. Very important aspects of our lives. Anyway, telling that story, I got all involved in the past and I forgot everything I was going to say. Probably I've already said enough. Yeah, there were things when doing the traveling into Eastern Europe, into Russia. There were times when, I mean, there were really significant times to be afraid. And some of those times really tested one's capacity to remain aware and fixed in the present. As we all know, especially those of you in Russia, you know very well, I mean, not all of you, but some of you, who experienced those times and all of the terrible things that happened. And I remember all I could do in those days was to simply keep, I was like in meditation for hours, just sending over good energy, sending over loving energy, communication of support. I didn't know what else to do. It's sometimes the way it is. I know there are things in the past that I don't really understand. I don't understand why. Even if I were to go into deep, deep meditation and deeply understand, I don't understand why. It's just there. You have to deal with it. There are things in the past which we cannot get our hands, or we cannot wrap in our consciousness or our head. Incredible earthly catastrophes. Or even in the previous time. I mean, there are personalities in history who we just can't understand why they did what they did. Makes no sense. You look at a personality like Hitler, it truly makes no sense. You can't think about it in terms of something of a divine plan, oh, of course, you might be able to figure something out and come up with some story. But I don't know. I can't. Maybe he's the personification of all that was evil at that time and he created some balance after that. Maybe. But how do I respond to this person? Well, I guess it's a challenge to just bless that soul, to bless that soul with healing, because that helps me. I don't really have any other way to deal with it. I must admit, the other day I had a thought come into my head, which I suppose came from some other lifetime or whatever. I wanted to take a picture of him and go pee on it outside in the backyard. Can you imagine that? It sounds so weird even when I say it. But I really had this deep desire to do it. And then while I was visualizing that, I felt better. Strange. How do you get such an idea in your head? And what would be the point of it? But it's like dealing with the past, letting it be, letting it go, letting it rest, and then ultimately getting to the point where you bless it. We all have people who we really seriously, at one point or another, really feel upset about. Maybe even hate. Maybe have such feelings that when we really think about it, we want to rip them to pieces. Okay, maybe not everybody has such feelings, but at least we've sometimes felt really hurt and we've wanted to do something about it. Maybe even take revenge. But accepting those feelings, seeing them, facing them, accepting them, embracing them and owning them. This is my feeling. I had a hard time doing that in the past. I would sometimes have a feeling and just push it away. I would resist a feeling. I would push it away. And yet, again, what you resist persists. What you oppose, you strengthen. And it comes back. Now I try to just be aware of all energies, wherever they may come from, and just accept them. And just assist. Living beings or departed beings or other beings or inimical beings or favorable beings or energies, accept it. And when you accept it and you are aware, things clear up because you're living in the moment and that's where you have your power. You have the power right now to deal with all of that energy, bad and good and past and future. It's right here. And when you embrace it and deal with it and listen to its pain, listen to its call, you become a master. Because you're not resisting it, you're not opposing it. You're accepting it. You become a therapist to heal it. Like, for example, somebody may have psychological problems. Their friends or relatives are disturbed by them. Other people push them away. You're crazy, they say. This just agitates the situation more because if it's in a family, the person does more things to get attention and so on. But a therapist sits there. The so-called crazy person comes to the therapist. The therapist accepts them, doesn't judge, doesn't condemn, listens and accepts and offers healing. If we had that attitude towards whatever cry of pain that comes to us, it doesn't mean we have to do anything. But if we are in the position where we are observing, where we are accepting and dealing appropriately, we have the power. We're not opposing, we're not resisting, we're not pushing away. We may not reciprocate and interact if we choose not to do so. But we have the power to make that choice, to do and be what we wish. That is a very wonderful thing. And I think it's very intimately connected with the message of that verse in Bhagavad Gita, seeing the beings equally, seeing things equally, living in the present without attachments to the past or future, without needs, without desires, in that sense of past and future, to simply exist, aware and capable with all power, and thus lead life. We may have desires to go somewhere, visit somebody, do something, whatever. That's not the point. If we are in the present doing that, from our position of power, from our choice, we will manifest our power through our own spiritual divinity and be very happy in that, even when in pain, if we hear it. And I thank you for allowing me this opportunity to express that.